patient. Blah, 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 person presents with, these are what I'm dealing with, this is what I've done so far, here's what I'm seeing in his labs, what do you think? Because I've been doing labs long enough that if it's, you know, straightforward enough and presented detailed enough, I can figure it out. So go for it.
I know.
We've done this in parking lots. When Lynn and I were on the way to Florida last year for the retreat, my car broke down and we were literally sitting in a parking lot waiting for a tow truck to come for us, and we conducted a call and I analyzed a stool test without even seeing it. So no worries. Just tell me what's there.
So is that the coffee beans getting ground?
No, I'm outside because inside, I don't know how people work in coffee shops. Holy cow. It's just like noisy as all that. I'm out in the little tables outside, but there's construction workers. So you're hearing saws and all kinds of cool stuff.
Well, I'm just delighted that I have the opportunity to connect with you.
So sure.
So just to back up, my wish for having any type of conversation about 88-year-old Ted is for you to help ground me, if you could, and guide me in all the wonderful NEPT materials of where I can be looking to educate myself and prepare for this case.
Great. Yeah.
Those were my two wishes.
Beautiful.
And I presented the labs because I know you always like to see that as a backdrop.
Yeah.
And here's what I said about Ted. Ted is an 88-year-old, hypertensive, over-medicated gentleman born into a contentious family. He withholds emotions. He won't drink much water or do much exercising. He's depressed and anxious. This is his life story. He's had fairly consistent diarrhea for about 20 years. Mm. Actually, since his retirement, it does swing to constipation. We started him on the SCD diet, and this is Jordan and Steve. Well, it was Jordan and Steve because that's what I had, right? Mm-hmm. And now we've migrated to Elaine Gottschall's beautiful website, the Breaking the Vicious Cycle. And that was necessary because 14 kids, there's about five of them that are heavy players in this case. So my stress level is very high trying to figure out how to communicate. I do have one point person, the guy who brought me in. But anyway, so therefore the grounding.
Right. So let me start with this, right? First of all, they are looking for alternative solutions because they came to you, right?
Yes.
That's a good starting point, right? So you know that they're either fed up with the medical system, they don't trust it for whatever reason, and those are always good questions to ask too. So that's a good piece. That's something for you to take a deep breath and say, look, this, you know, they're looking for what I have to offer. So how do I package what I have to offer in a way that I can get him to bite?
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's the caregivers. That's his beautiful 87-year-old wife who has to clean up his explosive diarrhea.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're highly, highly motivated on that front. Right. He invited me in primarily for the diarrhea, but even more pressing is that he's been falling in the last few months. He is insulin resistant, and he may even be diabetic. I'm getting confused on all these great numbers, but his hemoglobin A1C is 5.5. That was just taken in the last.
Mm-hmm. And what's his fasting glucose?
We don't really, Dr. Anne-Marie, have a good indicator. I don't think he has had any actual fasting. The glucose readings I have range from 94 up to actually 148.
Up to 148, okay.
And that's been in the last 7 months.
Okay. So he's either insulin resistance, borderline diabetes, but clearly there's a blood sugar imbalance.
Yes, and he's on multiple pharmaceuticals. Mm. Blood thinner, heartbeat, irregularity, digoxin, beta blocker,
digoxin,
okay. Yeah. Water pills for swelling in the legs, a Flomax version, paroxetine, I right? So that, what that one is. There's a celostazole that widens blood vessels. I mean, I think he's so doped up. They also, oh, I think the paroxetine was SSRI.
Yeah. So what you do is, here's what you do. Like, and I really highly recommend for any cases you get in where they're on medication, go to drugs.com and look up the medication, look up the actions of the medication. So what's it doing? What's it supposed to be doing? You can make yourself a little, you know, put it in a spreadsheet type of chart for the person, but their thing, look it up. What are some of the side effects of it? What are the drug nutrient interactions? And you might or might not get that on drugs.com. I think you can, but even if you can't, you could just pick up the drug and go drug nutrient interactions, and then just make yourself a little cheat sheet right from the start. You always want to know why they're taking it, what the desired mechanism of action is, because that gives you some clues. If they say, oh yeah, ever since I started taking this medication, I'm feeling so much better. You go, oh, that mechanism of action, how can we duplicate that mechanism of action with, you know, something more natural? And if they say, no, I took this thing and it didn't do anything, it made me worse, then you know, well, you don't want to use something that's a natural substance that does that same mechanism. So, for example, for pharmaceutical antidepressants, you have SSRIs, you have MAO inhibitors, there's various classes. And some people might say they do really well with a certain one, then you're going to look at those sort of things. If there's SSRI, you're going to be looking at serotonin, okay? So let's see, what can we do to help facilitate serotonin? So looking at medications and know whether they're working well, if they're from the perceived, you know, person's perception or not, gives you lots of information.
So you'll be very happy to know I have that spreadsheet started.
You're good, yay!
And after our call yesterday, I thought I would do a presentation to the family.
Beautiful. I was just thinking the same thing. You're right on the right track. That's great.
On Zoom. But any one of these, Marie, that could cause diarrhea in the guy and nausea or fainting. So part of my request for grounding is how... I mean, we can move mountains. I believe firmly in that, but yes. When there's so many competing variables that could be just that I know are making the guy sicker.
Yeah.
One of the bright spots in my 3.5 hour intake with four family members on Saturday, and then five, my sponsor on the phone from Ohio, was bringing in essential oil, lavender essential oil. So we've got him doing some deep breathing exercises. He got a CD from the library. And trying to increase exercise. And, you know, I know from my own past, when we're depressed and anxious, you know, it's hard to have hope. It's hard to get exercise.
It is. And that's the thing you want to be able to address first. So bringing in the lavender and the essential oils could be, you know, that passive helpful a little bit to take the edge off. But I think, you know, from your perspective, just, I would say from a grounding perspective, I want you to think, can you see this person well? Or, you know, better. Let's just say better. Can you visualize that?
I absolutely can. I can.
Okay. So yeah. When you start to feel that tension build up of, okay, how am I going to get this happening? Where am I going to start? I want you to just see that picture in your mind. I want you to take some deep breaths. And focus your attention there, and then ask your inner guidance, whatever you want to call it, what's the next step that I can take to help him get towards that vision I have for him? Okay.
Yeah.
You've already come up with some good ones, right? Some real basic, easy stuff for them.
Yeah.
Look at the water. These people are a lot of times very dehydrated. Or they're drinking Coke or coffee or something that's giving them liquid and making them think they're hydrated, but they're not, right?
Right, right. His 6 cups of coffee are a thing of the past.
Now. Great. Wow. That's quick. That's great. How did you get that happening? I would say that's a great accomplishment.
And it was so interesting. The family had this beautiful idea that Bulletproof with lots of butter and MCT oil was an upgrade for him. Mm-hmm. And his adrenals are, you know, shot, And, you know, it's a laxative, right? And not good for the kidneys and the acidosis.
So, well, MCT alone, I mean, will cause a dumping if you go too much too fast.
Yeah, okay.
So the MCT, just you can't give somebody, you know, with diarrhea MCT unless you start them with an eighth of a teaspoon. And yes. Then work your way up. And it's much more if he's making bulletproof type coffee, right? Then that alone, that hurt a lot of people with really good digestion. That we've sent them running to the bathroom. I remember somebody, a friend of mine, was at one of these conferences. They're serving. She said, I haven't had coffee in a long time, but, you know, they're saying how healthy this is. I'm going to have some. She said, I took two sips and I was in the bathroom.
Okay, good, good. Yeah, He conned his caregiver, who comes in three times a week, to give him a half of coffee. And so we had a talking to her about, you know, you got to follow the protocol. So,
right. Her job is not to have him like her. Her job is to take care of him. And that's sometimes we have to draw those lines. We do it when we have kids. We have to do it with elderly parents. We have to do it with our clients sometimes, is I'm not here to win a popularity contest with you.
Right.
I'm here to help you get well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then I have to keep in mind, though, that this guy is such a creature of habit. I asked him, when was the last time his bowels were regular? And he was hard to understand, but I thought he was saying, you know, when he was 50, in his 50s, so 30, almost 40 years ago.
Wow.
I clarified with the wife, and she said, no, in the 1950s. And it was fascinating, and this is the beauty of our intake and the intake whole conversation. He had a regular routine, and his brain is very sharp. He remembered having bowel movements. He worked retail, and he remembered getting to the store and going and having a bowel, and that was routine for this poor guy. So anyway, okay. So
wait a minute. Just let's just stop here, because I'm just going to throw in a teaching point. Is whenever you hear that this is the last time that this happened, right? So
yes.
You always want to start some questioning around that. Like what are the antecedent circumstances? What are the things that led up to that? When does he first remember it going bad? Like, was it after a trip? Was it after installing new carpeting? Was it moving into a new house? After a death in the family? Change of diet? All those things.
It seems to be when he retired.
Oh, he retired in the 50s?
No. That was when he remembered regularity. And I think that's because his routine was so regular. He's had a bunch of different careers, so we didn't really get past the 50s. But
so it might be good to ask the wife if she remembers when he first started, at least when he first started complaining about.
Okay.
You know, it's really hard when you're dealing with elderly people, and sorry, somebody just turned on a saw or something. I said it's hard to work with elderly people who, you know, he said his mind is sharp, but, you know, a lot of times they're losing that memory. And it is a long time ago. It's like if you say to me, you know, what happened to you in 1964? Like, I don't remember. Yeah. But there are some people, like my mother-in-law used to be like this, so she lost her mind. But she lost her memory, but she would remember all the details of these old events. And she would sit there and tell you in grueling, grueling detail everything that happened back in 1952. So some of them have that. They, even when they start to lose the short term, the long term is sharp. So those are just, I'm just throwing that in there. That's like whenever you hear this is the last time, when was the last time you felt well? When was the last time you had good bowel movements, whatever? Then you go, okay, what happened right up? You know, what happened? When's the first time you remember things going awry? What was happening in your life emotionally, physically, environmentally, et cetera?
So my tie-in there was I have to not lose sight of how stressful this change is for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've not started to do heart math. I don't think technology But maybe we'll work up to that.
Well, you don't need technology to do HeartMath, and this is a misconception that so many people have. HeartMath is a technique. The technology helps you to get regular with doing the technique. Once you get regular with doing the technique, you trash the technology. You don't need it anymore. So HeartMath isn't a technology thing. HeartMath is just really having them focus in. And you know, a lot of times with folks, it's just really just sitting with them. Do you have a memory of a time, a vacation, a special time with your wife or your kids? You have 14 of them. He probably has some special time that he can remember where it was just a happy, very, you know, wonderful time. Right? And ask about that. And then say, okay, let's go back there. Let's just go back there. And you guide them through. You got to guide somebody through. You can't just say, here, go buy this device and figure it out, right? You guide them through and they have the experience and they go, oh, you go, okay, you can do this yourself. You can do this. Let's write this down, right? I always have them write it down when I'm first teaching them. Like, what are those memories from you I get when you experience it? And then, you know, maybe it might even help to, you know, just give them a little glimmer of that hope again. You get him and his wife to chat about it a little bit, right? When was that? Oh, remember that vacation we took? We had only 8 kids then, but we popped them in the station wagon and we went to the lake or whatever. You know, that could be something that you can get them thinking of. And it helps to shift the mental perspective as well.
Great. Okay. Good. Okay. Oh, you know, it's tough when they're so old and there's so much history.
Yeah. Okay. But you know, you've got a lot here right there, right? Looking at the habits, like what is causing it, right? So the coffee, certainly you want to get that. Coffee's a laxative, right? Yeah. Coffee's definitely a laxative. So getting out rid of that and explaining to them, look, I know this is really bad, right? How much do you want to get rid of this explosive diarrhea? What are you willing to do? There's a few things I'm noticing in where your habits are, some of the foods that I'd like to tweak a little bit to help to decrease the irritability to that bowel. I mean, he's like anybody else. He's probably eating bread, right? Toast and sandwiches and pasta.
Yep, he was. He was, yeah. Okay. So one of the things that we're working on is getting the Nutrival through Genova, run through Medicare. But that seems to be quite a challenge.
Really? Usually that Genova can get those run through really well. You know, lots of people get those done.
No, but they need an ordering physician that has Medicare, and we're working that issue. But after the conversation yesterday with Jan's case presentation on neurotransmitters, I wonder, because the Nutrival plasma, right, looks at amino acids from urine, for the benefit of looking at neurotransmitters.
Yeah.
And in the call yesterday, you all were talking about possibly delaying that, you know, bringing in these upgrades and supplements.
Yeah.
And then would that apply to the Nutrival plasma too?
Yeah, I would say, you know, you first of all, you know that he's way out of balance. And so you can actually just from the symptoms he's presented and looking at your charts, just kind of assess where you think. B vitamins for sure, right? B6 especially. If he's got diarrhea, means fast transit time, right? So he's not really absorbing all his nutrients. So amino acids, right? So maybe even a simple amino acid supplement can be helpful just to bump things up, right? Or a protein powder that's got good levels of amino acids in it that's easy to absorb. But the free forms tend to be the best for somebody who's got a lot of digestive impairment. And there's powdered ones that taste like crap, but there's also pill ones too that are just like the 21 amino acids in, you know, proper proportion. Just the plants, what they've got, just to give them some extra nutrition. Because remember what Jan was saying about how the neurotransmitters, it took a while, but that seemed to be the turning thing or contributing factor when they added in.
Yes.
So I would look at, look up if it's an SSRI that he's on, and he's still depressed, then, you know, you want to ask, did it make the depression better? Is it just about the same? And if it made it, didn't make it better, then it's not working. And you don't want to start barking up the tree of SSRIs and HTP, private speech.
Well, I asked why they brought him on, and the MD daughter thought that his doctor wanted to increase his appetite, and so she put him on this SSRI.
Oh, God. And you know what? People go on SSRIs for losing weight. They go on 5-HTP for helping to control the appetite, suppressing appetite, having 30 minutes before the meal. Oh, I was saying that I'm trying to hold this little mic right up to my mouth because they're grilling again. With SSRIs, you know, if I put somebody on 5-HTP and they have it half an hour before meals, it's an appetite suppressant. So I don't know where she's getting. Mary, you might know because you've got the neuroscience background. Does an SSRI increase appetite?
Some of them do. Which one is he on?
He is on, let me go there. Let's see. Paroxetine?
That's, I think, Zoloft. Yes. Paroxetine, if it is Zoloft, I'll have to look at my notes. But there's two of them that really do increase appetite. The only thing is, stay out of psychiatric meds unless you need psychiatric meds because of a major problem, because they have such side effects that create more problems than they heal. So, I mean, I'm way against them because I've seen what they've done to a lot of people, and it's not good on their side effects. So,
and Mary's talking from a perspective. She has a master's in neuroscience, so she's studied this extensively. She had personal and family experience with this. So,
yeah. And so it's like, so all it's really, if you can, if get them off of the Western stuff as much as possible, especially psych meds, because psych meds create more than they help.
Yeah, that's the issue though, Mary. That's what becomes challenging when you're working with the family, you're working with them. We can't go and say to get off your psych meds, especially since he has 4 MD children.
Yeah, and see, that's the whole thing. That's what I heard. With one of them was an MD, and it's like, that's not going to work at all because they're totally locked into the system. But if you can get them to see that, I mean, I can try to write up a sign of symptoms for you. I'll give you my stuff from symptoms. I'll send it to you. And you can look and see if there's stuff on there, and you can show that to the, that this is common, that maybe it could be this. If the profession is, if they're MDs that are wanting to help their father, they might do it. You know, they might realize and say, hey, let's try something different.
Right.
I have a list someplace. I've got to find it, but I have a list someplace that shows alternatives for a lot of those. And paroxetine is a very common one for use. It's as common as the Paxil. I mean, it may even be Paxil, actually. It comes, well, not Zoloft. But yeah, it's one of the most common ones. It's the top three.
Okay.
I
appreciate that, Mary. And here's the scary thing. The MD daughter is in psychiatry or psychology. So she's eager. You know, she's eager, right? And one other thing, too, is D levels are only in the 50s.
That's not too bad. That's very good compared to a lot of folks we see.
Yes.
So, you know, a little bit of D, they're not going to want to go for a higher dose, and I wouldn't recommend that, but at least 3,000 to 5,000 on D would be a good dose.
He's at like 56. It's okay. Come up over the last 3 years from 47.
Okay. No, that's good.
So, okay. And, you know, the wife may have upped him, so that's a good thing for me to circle back with.
The wife may have what?
Upped his dosage.
Upped his dosage, okay, good.
Yeah.
And the wife sounds like is she a lot younger, or is she around the same age?
She is a stroke survivor and 87 and popped out 14 kids in a very small frame. She is amazing.
Wow. Okay, good. That's great that she's still able to help take care of them. That's great.
Yeah, if the diarrhea
That's the part she wants to. Yeah, so I would say, you know, really reinforce with them that he's got to be 100% strict on staying off all the irritants. So the gluten can cause that, right?
Right.
Get off the MCTs, the coconut oil. Those things can actually, the MCTs can trigger it. And just look carefully at everything he's eating. Say you want a nice food diary. You want to see what he's eating because you want to actually pull out anything that's going to cause the diarrhea. That's not going to solve the problem, you know, with everything else, but you just at least want to have her not be having to deal with his diarrhea.
Right, right. Do we have materials so the SCD, you know, home-based diet, which is very heavy meat-based?
Well, okay, my chart is not. That's the whole, this big misnomer about the SCD diet. And it's used by people as an excuse to eat a lot of meat. If you download mine, it can be very high plant. It doesn't have to be 100% plant, but it can be a high plant-based SCD diet.
Okay, so we have in our...
You have it.
Specifically SCD. Okay. Okay. I've been reading so much other great stuff in our materials. I hadn't looked for the SCD because I had Jordan and Steve.
Hello?
Yep.
All right, you still there? Okay, I saw something come in from a weird place. We have it. Lynn would know I think it's Dr. Digestive Mastery. No. It's in, if you go to the digestion module and you go to the SCD section, it's okay. One of the handouts. It's either there and it's in the done for you section too. But it's a really nice chart I put together and it just really makes it easy. You know, it's a red column, a yellow column, a blue column, a green column kind of thing. So you start with, or whatever colors there are, but you start with only having to meet the greens, right? Okay. You eliminate everything else on that chart except what's in the green. And there's lots of vegetables. There's lots of plants. They can put, you know, good solid meat, being careful about, you know, you don't want to be careful about toxins and all that.
Right.
But yeah, but the SCD diet, like, that will swing them towards constipation.
Okay. Well, it was also more consistent with his historical eating, you know, meat, probably two meals a day for sure. Breakfast, you know, was grains, which weren't helping him. So, and eggs. So good. I will go.
Yeah.
Move him there. Cause he's pretty damn bored of, pardon my French, of his, the broth.
Yeah. Yeah. And the broth is a good thing, right? The broth. And they usually have you start with like blended peeled cucumbers or something like that.
Yeah,
I mean, they start with a very, very strict. So, you know, it may not be, it may be good to do that very, very short term. Usually it's only a week that you do that really strict phase and they get just to calm everything down. And then you start introducing the other things in the green.
So he raided the refrigerator. So he kind of just had to be on the cart. We didn't get to 5 days on the FCD diet.
He didn't even get to 5 days. Yeah.
Because he ate,
Here's what I feel like. Sometimes, you know, you have to go to the super, super strict. But if you can go to a less strict, so if you could just go and use everything in my green columns and help them have some variety, if that improves it a little bit but not 100%, then you'd be looking at what else do you need to remove, you know? Yeah. Do you need to peel all the veggies and, you know, blend them and cook them before he eats them? But a lot of times people get tremendous relief just by removing those aggregates.
Right. Okay. So have you got SCD specifically? Oh, SCD and FODMAPs. Okay.
It combines both. It's SCD and FODMAPs. So you go, the first green column is low FODMAP and SCD legal.
Got it. Okay. Cool.
Right. And you start there. If they have to go backwards from there and go to that SCD intro type thing, which is, you know, it's mostly broth. It's mostly just really simple broth. Then you said he got sick of it. So, but did it improve the diarrhea is the question. It did. Okay. Okay. So you can just start with that. He's done that. You can get him to go back to that for a day, you know, negotiate, go back to that for a day, calm things down again, and then introduce some of the other foods on that list.
Cool. And do you suggest cooking all of this?
you know, it just depends on why he's having it. If he's got actual inflammation, irritation of the tissue, the lining, then the cooking is better. At least peeling and blending. At least blending. I mean, I'm a big fan of blending and broths and juices for healing gut stuff because, you know, you don't want fiber going in and aggravating the lining if it's irritated.
Right, good.
I'm a big fan of a 30-day blended routine. You may not get them to go 30 days, but if at least you get them to go 5 days. But keep it interesting. It doesn't have to be boring.
Right.
And we used, like when I did the demo on last Saturday, we used essential oils to make the stuff taste better. So if you can't use certain spices because they're not SCD or FODMAP friendly, then you just go with some of the essential oils. So I made a pesto with essential oil of basil.
Great. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. His sense of smell and taste is still really heightened.
Okay. That's good.
What's that?
That's good.
That is good. Yeah. So would you cut out all coconut oil?
No. But MCT I would for now.
Okay.
And then you go back and you add it back.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
A little bit at a time.
Okay. Perfect. He's got some kidney stuff going on, so I really wanted to get him off of the meat for a variety. Right. Yeah. Can you explain to me, Dr. Miramiri, the connection between kidney and hypertension?
Oh, so it's a sodium-potassium balance in terms of the kidney, and the kidney will maintain that balance, and if the kidneys are stressed, they don't tend to do that. That's one connection there.
Okay.
So if the kidneys are weak, but high blood pressure will, you know, comes on for other reasons, right? So the kidneys can be damaged by high blood pressure as well. So it's a chicken and an egg thing, right?
And I was also adding to this, it's the HPA axis thing that one of the other hypothalamic things can be triggered by kidney issues, creating, releasing, and higher blood pressure.
That's right.
I can't remember the names right now.
ADH is produced by the pituitary, antidiuretic hormone. Yeah.
So it's that axis. They're all intermingled. And
right.
One goes off, it messes the others up.
Messes the rest of it up.
There are several. I just did a quick Google. And I don't know when the doctor or the person had her last schooling, but they are showing.
His last what?
Her last schooling, the MD. Because what I'm saying is in 2011, a lot of medical school.
Just a sec. Okay. No, Mary, there's a bunch of laughing in the background.
Okay. So, but anyhow, there's a lot of things have changed. I just Googled really quick and got 5 people who are having diarrhea and bowel on Paxil, and they just started it 3 or 4 days before. And they had no problems prior to starting it. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot of people with a one quick Google. You know,
wow.
I didn't expect that at all. You know, and they have made some major changes in what they believe in psychiatry since 2011. And so if the doctor has not gone back to a lot in my psychopharmacology class, you could see things that they didn't used to believe. They believe now. And so it is, diarrhea is on 2 of the side effect list, which is means they've picked up because it wasn't to begin with.
Okay.
So anyway, that's information I found real quickly. So
great. Yeah, good to know. That's why drugs.com is actually one of those sites that is, it's you know, pharmaceutical industry, and it is a good site. And so it's respected by an MD. So if you pulled some stuff off that, that's a good thing. Or if you pull, like you do a Google search like Mary did, and you find a PubMed, an article with a PMID, PubMed ID, then they're going to be more likely to say, oh, wow. Okay, I didn't know this. Yeah, we didn't learn this in medical school. This is real information.
Okay. It also, his neutrophils are elevated and his lymphocytes are low. Neutrophils at 70, lymphs at 19.
Yeah, so that's more leaning towards a bacterial infection.
Yeah. And then he does have enlarged prostate, and his monocytes are 9, so.
Monocytes are 9, so that's more of a, you know, it's a chronic thing. Yeah. It's either an acute in the recovery stage or it's chronic, and usually it's chronic. Very rarely do I ask somebody and it turns out to be an acute. They just had a flu.
They're coming. They were 11 in January, so.
Coming down. Okay, good. Uh-huh. And I just wanted to say, anybody else that's on the call, if you have, so we're going to, Cynthia was the only one with questions. I see Sequoia joined us. Hi. Since I'm on a cell phone sitting in the parking lot of a coffee shop because my internet is down. My power is out in my area. So I can't really open your line or anything, but I can see it if you raise your hand. So just raise your hand if you have a question. And what is it, Mary? How did you raise your hand? I guess if you're on a phone, well, Sequoia's on, it's just, you just hit the phone.
Yeah, I'm on the web.
You're on the web, yeah. I'm just sitting here on my cell phone with very little power. So I only have 35% power left.
And I'm recording, anyway. So then I can.
Oh, good. Thank you, Doreen.
Yeah, so I'm going to lower your hand, Mary, and if Sequoia, you have anything, I can unmute you or do anything too.
Okay, great. Thanks, Doreen.
Does Sequoia have anything? And then there's a 713 number that's on the phone too.
Yeah, I don't know. If you have, I don't remember what you do. Is it *6 or something or *9 to raise your hand if you're on the phone? So I don't know how to do that, but anyway.
Sequoia, I unmuted you in case you had a question.
*6.
No, I think I'll wait for the next one because I wanted to upload something and I haven't done it in time, so in this present circumstances I think it would be best to wait.
Well, if you have something to upload, I ain't uploading it. What Cynthia's doing is she's uploading it from her brain to mine. She's reading it and telling me what's there. And because I'm on a cell phone sitting in a parking lot with 35% power trying to get this call done. So
I think I'll wait because I want to do a bit more research on it anyway, so.
Okay. Super. Yeah. And upload it for us. If you can get it to us 48 hours in advance, it really helps because then we can get it loaded up to our Dropbox folder and then it's on my computer, it syncs, and then I can open it up and have it all opened up before the call. That's the best way to do it. Otherwise, there's no guarantees. But, I mean, we're doing a great job here, no, with with just telling me what she's seeing. So that's working out, sort of.
It really is. And did the 713 caller want to jump in at all?
I don't know who the 713 is. Who's on 713? I think that's set up where we can, I don't think we can open their line. Sometimes people call in a certain way and there's no way I can access their line. They're the only one that can open it. So yeah. If you could,
713 is Annette. I have a
Oh, hi, Annette. Me. Oh, there you are. Hi. Oh, yeah. Are you going to be getting a hurricane soon? Are you in the path? No, no good.
I live in Austin now. So.
Oh, that's right. You live in Austin. That's right. But you still have your 713.
But I still have the Houston. Yeah.
My son, who just moved to Corpus on Sunday, he's driving back today to get out of the path. And hopefully his, they just spent 3 days setting up their apartment. Anyway.
Oh, wow.
He lives 3 blocks
from
the water.
Well, it sounds to me like they're really more concerned about this being a rain event than
that's
than a
good.
Wind.
Well, my other son wrote from that what he's seeing, what he's over in Italy right now, is 111 degree winds. And I'm like, oh, send him home. Oh. Come on home, baby. Come home so mama can protect you. All right.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, did you have any questions? Because we've been working with Cynthia for a while, and she'll keep going, but if you have any questions you want to interject, we'll have you do that. Did you have any questions?
I don't right now, thank you. My kid got, I don't know if you saw my journal, we had a big setback with her.
Oh, no.
So I've been kind of just focusing on her and keeping myself sane.
Oh, no. Is she okay? So, is she going to be okay?
She's She's getting back on track. I have to say that thanks to what I've learned about blood, reading blood chemistries and running them through the software and stuff, I knew how bad the blood work was when I saw it. Her fasting blood sugar was 302.
Ooh, ouch.
Her A1C was 12, which is 301.
Ouch.
Her carbon dioxide was 16, and so she was headed back towards the diabetic ketoacidosis.
Yes.
And then her blood sugar, I mean, her D had plummeted to a 26.
Oh my.
Yeah. So it was, that's what I've been really focusing on.
Oh, absolutely.
She's done home A1Cs and she's down to 9.3, which is 220. She asked for a continuous glucose monitor. So we're really learning a lot with that.
Oh, good. That's a great thing. But did she have
really
a setback because of an exposure or because she went off the wagon or what? Did she go off the wagon? She went big time. Okay.
She went off the wagon.
Okay.
She went way far off the wagon, off the path, and was just out there.
Yeah. So now she knows, right, that she cannot afford to do that.
Yeah. And when I went to Birmingham, I had an intervention. And I said, you know, when I moved, you promised me you would. I showed her on the software, how bad it was. And I said, you know, you promised you wouldn't get sick. And she looked at me and said, I'm not sick because I'm not in the hospital.
Boy.
I said, child, you were real close to being back, and I'd have been coming to claim your body. I said,
yeah.
So. You know, we need to turn this around. So she's back on the plan.
Okay, good. And she responds pretty quickly if she dropped her hemoglobin A1C that quickly. So
yeah, she does.
She responds. She just has to be 100% pristine pure for the rest of her life. And that's the kind of part that when you're young, you don't get that. You're invincible. You think you can jump, bounce back. You can, you know, go off and then come back on. But you can't when you've got that fragile situation like she has.
You really can't. And the first week she had the continuous glucose monitor was also her period. And her numbers are just all over the map. And I said, okay, now we need to work on your hormones too. that's what I'm working on right now is her.
Well, good luck. I'm sorry to hear, but she's so lucky she has you, we don't want to think about where she'd be.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't be pretty. And like I said, a lot of it, you know, is I told her, I said, needing the blood chemistry will be a blessing and a curse in your life. So, you know, when I showed up, I'm sure she was thinking, yeah, it's a curse. But like I said, you know, if I hadn't, you know, if I didn't know what I know from you, so thank you so very much. You know, I wouldn't have gotten there. I wouldn't have known that I needed to be there. So thank you for the part you played in saving my child's life.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
And that really tears me up because that's why I do what I do. And that's why, you know, my 5 hours of sleep every night this week is like, okay, I'm doing good things in the world. It's okay. It's going to be okay. Because that's the stuff. That's why I do what I do.
It paid off in our house. So, yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Ah, wonderful. All right. So let's just, do you have any more, Cynthia? I know we kind of cut you off to try to see if anybody else had anything, but if there's anything more that you have, we can talk for a little bit longer, but I think I want to, this is not the best environment here. My brain is still working, but it's not very happy working in this environment.
No, just one last question, Dr. Rita-Marie.
Sure.
And I, too, am so grateful for all your expertise and the confidence that you've helped me instill. So looking at Ted's sodium and potassium, his sodium is 142, and the potassium is 4.7. So
okay.
Hyperadrenal dehydration, right?
Yeah, so 140 is the kind of range, the ideal range. So 142 is slightly high. Right. You know, it's not like off the charts high. And the potassium, remind me, the range is like 4.1 to 4.5.
4.2, 4.5.
Yep. 4.3, okay. To 4.5. So, and his is 4.7, you said, so a little high.
Yep.
So they're both high. So it's not like he's got, you know, that crazy sodium potassium imbalance, right? That his sodium is way higher. Yeah, it definitely, you want to look at the dehydration because he's been drinking 6 cups of coffee a day and that's very dehydrating. And he's got diarrhea and that's very dehydrating. So getting him to sip water throughout the day with a little, you know, lemon or lime or essential oil or cola flavored, coffee flavored medicine flower drops if he needs that. You know, because you can get people to make a cup of hot water and then put a few drops of the medicine flower coffee. And, you know, it helps them to make that transition real much more easily.
Good. I haven't used those medicine drops. So that's good. I had forgotten about those, but I think that might be a good trick for him. Okay, awesome. Plenty to work on. Thank you so much.
Oh, you are so welcome. And thank you for the patience everybody had with me being here and sitting on the cell phone and all the drilling noises that are happening in the background. It's crazy. So my team said to me, well, wait a minute, just go to the Starbucks. And this is a lot closer than the Starbucks. It's a little place. And I get here like, I'm supposed to do 2 video interviews this afternoon. How am I supposed to do video interviews in this environment? You know, there's no way. So I'm going to go home right now and see if my power, well, it's probably not back yet. They said like 2:45 to 3. But at least, well, I can't plug in. Maybe I'm going to go inside and get a cup of tea and plug in and be able to at least get my electricity, my phone plugged back in. Whatever. You don't need to hear my woes. But anyway, a lot going on here, a lot going on for all of you. And I just so appreciate your dedication to making this world a better place. It needs it. And Mary, thanks for you know, jumping in with your neuroscience and your great research background. I appreciate that. And it'll be great if you follow up with Cynthia to give her those references so she can look it up.
Dr. Yeah. Marie, I think Mary jumped off. What's her last name?
Oh, Mary Wolf.
Okay.
Yeah, and I can give you her number if you want. She won't mind if I give you her number. Let me see if I can find it. She's on Skype if you're on Skype. And she's on the group. She's not on the Facebook as often as some of us are. Let me go back. Okay, so Mary. Oops. Mary. Oh, there we are. Mary Wolf. Let me just see what it says. And this is her cell phone. She's in South Texas right now. 512.
Yes.
417-3644. And I'll give you her email, too, so you can email her.
Okay.
I know she doesn't have great internet right now because she's getting settled in a new place, but mmwolf02, mmwolf, W-O-L-F, 02, at peoplepc.com.
So mmwolf02 at peoplepc.com.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Fabulous.
All right?
Yeah.
She's great with anything related to neuroscience, which that's her master's is, and she did a lot of work in medical technology and various things like that. So she's got a lot of research, a lot of really good skills when it comes to research and finding articles, and like she did, looking up those drugs and finding right away.
So yeah, that's great.
She's a good resource, and she loves to help, so... Don't feel like you're imposing on her. Like that's what she's like. Just got this big heart, and that's what she drives on helping people. So.
Great. It's painful to see all of our clients suffer, but you know, 88-year-old fragile guy is tugs on my heart even more. So.
Oh yeah, yeah,
so.
Yeah.
And you know, we're fighting to keep him out of out of the home.
Right. Right, that's going to be the worst, because then you can't control anything that goes in his mouth.
Right, oh, yeah. Then he'll be even more depressed. So.
And exactly. Okay. So keep doing, just be your loving, caring self and keep uplifting him and get them to go focusing on some of those memories and bringing them back and reliving them, and you know, sharing that you what you see for him, but that it's going to be not going to be just easy peasy, that you don't have any magic bullets, and it's going to take a little work, but it's going to be worth it.
Yeah, great. And okay. I love your list. And they'll be delighted to bring in some of those items too.
Yeah, and go slow. Always go slow, yeah. Especially with that age and fragility. Go slow, okay?
Well, I think the wife, out of the goodness of her heart, she brought in peaches yesterday.
Nice, but not a good for when you have explosive diarrhea.
No. So bless her heart. So
Yes.
So framework is good for everybody. So, okay. Yeah.
And you know what? Just one last thing a lot of times you want to make sure that you're not making any food bad, because a lot of people say, but the peaches are a good food. You're going, right now, the context is we've got to take away anything that can be irritating. And so we're going to just base it down to a small group of things. You're going to see that you get at least 5 days where you're calm. And then we're just going to add things back in. And I'll ask you, what's one of your favorite foods from this list that you're missing, that you want to add next? Okay, let's try that. Here's how you do it. Small amount, you know, lightly steam it. Make sure it's not, you know, raw. Make sure it's cleaned real well so you're not introducing any bacteria. And then try it, right? And then, okay, great. What's the next one? You know, and let them make it fun that they get to restrict and then add that.
Yes, and any ideas for a warm, soothing breakfast? He really misses his cereal and his warm cereals.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things. Chia might be too aggravating for him. It's definitely a high FODMAP thing, so right now I wouldn't do the chia. But you can actually see what could you do. So you don't know if he tolerates coconut very well, but you can actually make a vegetable soup and blend it up. Like one of my favorite things, avocados high FODMAP, so you beat that out. So one of my favorite things is like a warm vegetable broth. Vegetable soup.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's summertime, so he didn't really need to be warm. Where does he live? Alaska?
He's in Denver. I think it's the creature of habit, Marie, Dr. Reed.
Yeah. So, play around with it. It doesn't, and we have such a thing about breakfast foods versus lunch foods versus dinner foods. And
oh, no. Yeah. He's doing the turkey patties for breakfast. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're pushing him out of his comfort zone. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. Awesome. Well, keep up the good work. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, everybody. Thank you for being here.